Hello and welcome to the Money Nerds Podcast, where owning a calculator, budgeting your money, and having a net worth is actually cool. I'm your host, Whitney Hansen, and each week I'll be chatting with inspiring people to learn their secrets to financial success. Now let's dive into the show. Hey guys, welcome to episode 6. I am so excited that we have made it to episode 6 because that means we're actually A, being consistent, and B, finding some interesting and awesome guests to share their story. And I have to say, this weekend was pretty bomb.com for me. So I went to Acker Rock Lookout, which is a fire lookout where, you know, the old school fire lookouts where people would live on contract in these little lookouts and keep an eye out for fire all summer. So the government, instead of tearing those down, they have preserved them so that you can actually go stay there. And it is the coolest thing I've ever seen. So this lookout that I stayed at was on top of a cliff, and like literally cliff all around you. It was really kind of nerve-wracking, but pretty freaking awesome. And so my little sister and one of my friends and I did a girls' trip and drove over there. It was about an 8-hour drive over the weekend, so it was a bit exhausting. But we got to stay in the lookout and just play cards, have fun, and completely unplug from all things tech, which was kind of a nice thing for me. And so if you're interested in fire lookouts, I have to link this because they are amazing. You can reserve those at recreation.gov, and they're actually pretty budget friendly. Ours was about $45 a night, and I got my reservation a year in advance. So they do book up really quickly. So go check it out, and check out my Instagram as well as the Facebook group, because I post some pictures of the behind the scenes stuff of how that all looks, and it's really cool. So I hope you go check that kind of stuff out as well. So I'm pretty tired, needless to say. I'm feeling it. The little weekend, the weekend warrior kind of stuff, the road trips, it really does get to me. But you know, YOLO, you only have one life. And honestly, I'd rather be exhausted but fulfilled than just feeling like life is just going nowhere. So kind of a weird thing, but hey, that's just what I like to do. So speaking of things that I like to do, it is Money Wins time. Today's Money Win comes from the private Facebook group, and this comes from Danielle Isbell. Danielle is a rock star. She's actually part of my mastermind group. So I'm in a mastermind group. I believe that community is everything. And she is one of those that has been so supportive of me for a long time now. So I really am grateful for her support. Danielle's Money Win is that she participated in an Uber research study and scored $75 in Uber credits. Heck yeah, Danielle, that is incredible. Hashtag Money Win. That's impressive. $75 goes a long way in Uber money. So congrats on that. And don't forget, guys, if you guys want to share your money wins and be shouted out on this podcast, go ahead and tag me on social media, on Twitter at Whitney Hansen Co. or on Instagram at Whitney Hansen Co. with underscores underneath each of those, and do hashtag money wins. And if you haven't joined the private Facebook group, go check that out too, because that is a fun way to go as well. Okay, so today's guest is absolutely incredible. Today's guest is Aja McClanahan, and Aja has quite an impressive story about paying off debt and paying off actually $100,000 in debt, which is no small feat. And how she did that is actually what is so fascinating. So all of her work can be found at principlesofincrease.com. Again, all of this will be linked in the show notes. And the way that she truly paid off debt was by moving her family to what would be deemed the ghetto. Seriously, she moved from the suburbs to the ghetto just so that her family could make financial progress. So if that's not enough, just the philosophy behind her mindset and how her and her family think about managing money is so interesting. And so throughout this episode, so in this episode, we talk about making the decision to forever stay debt-free, why exactly she moved her family from the suburbs to the hood, the perks of making those tough decisions, and how they impacted her life today. And she even has some heartfelt advice for those cleaning up their own financial life. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so excited to introduce you guys to Aja McClanahan from principlesofincrease.com. Hey everybody, today I have Aja McClanahan with me,
And Aja's going to share her incredible get out of debt story. It's really going to inspire you. So I'm just going to turn it over to Aja and let her share her inspirational story.
Hey, Whitney. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to share what we went through to get out of debt. So hopefully I won't ramble too long. And if I do, you know, feel free to edit. But we basically stumbled upon Dave Ramsey, his radio show, and then shortly thereafter, I ordered his Total Money Makeover book. And I was like, oh, I'm game. I'm sold. Let's do this. My husband wasn't that excited, but he went along anyway. But we didn't get it right away. We actually, my epiphany was, oh, I'll start a business, and then that'll get us out of debt. And so I was, I guess, walking along the right path, but the execution was a little off. I went into actually credit card debt, and we even ended up financing like a $30,000 car. And so that brought our debt total, along with our $60,000 of student loans, brought us to like $100,000. And I had just had my oldest child, and things were just hard. We had to service all of the debt, and we were pretty much on one income. My business kind of was, I don't want to say floundering, but it wasn't where it is today. Yeah. maybe fast forward a couple of years after reading the book, we were like, okay, let's actually do what the book says, not just say, yay, we can rah, 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 we can be debt free. Let's actually do a budget and, start watching our expenses and try to increase income. And that, just that commitment alone, when we came together, I believe that move the wheels into motion for us. So we started kind of plugging away. And the other important part is, not only did we decide to get out of debt, we decided that we would forever stay out of debt. And people thought we were crazy.
Yeah.
Like, people thought we had joined some cult. Like, what was wrong with us? I mean, it was really, I was excited. So I was like telling all my friends and family, like, hey, guess what, you all? We're going to be debt free, and we're never going to take out debt, not for a house, not for a car, not for anything else. And people were just like, you're weird.
Totally.
Right. So we were excited. But anyway, that didn't deter us. Huh. Money actually started to flow through my business. I proceeded to pay off credit cards and other debt. And probably about halfway into the journey, we received a phone call from a relative, and they were like, hey, I have this house, you know, that I inherited, and I actually like where I live in the suburbs. I'm fine. Would you all like this house? And we were like, oh, no, because we knew the neighborhood and everything that was involved. We were like, no, at the time we had even moved back in with my mom, and we were like, you know, living pretty posh in the suburb, and, you know, rent free, because my mom's nice like that. And we were just like, thanks, but no thanks. And then, so maybe a couple of weeks later, my husband's like, well, we did say we weren't going to take out debt, and we wanted a house with no debt. This particular house would not require us to take on a mortgage. It was paid for. The only thing we'd have to do was do some renovations. And again, we couldn't take out any debt. So fortunately, my husband kind of discerned the opportunity that was before us, and we thought about it more. We prayed about it more, and we were like, you know, we think we can do this. So we accepted the offer for the house, and, basically we went for it. Okay. And fortunately we had the cash. We had, because we had been paying down on our bills, we had been paying down our debt. We had the money available. So that was really a fortuitous event for us, because we got in there, and it took us about a year. It wasn't something that happened right away. Because we were using cash and kind of our own labor for the most part, we were able to fix it up, and then we moved in. And I think the first night that we moved in, and let me just backtrack and just say, this house was in, or is in, because I'm still here, in the inner cities of inner cities.
I love that.
Yeah. And so, I think, for some people, the story might not have such a a big impact because they think, oh, you know, what's the big deal? You're black, you're with your peeps and all that. But, socioeconomically, we are considered middle class. We're suburbanites culturally, you know. So it was still an adjustment for us because for most of our lives, me and my husband had lived in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. So we were really moving to some place where if you were to look up the statistics, you know, leading in violent crime, I mean, any bad statistic you can think about, basically a place that would top the charts. And so this was about 5 years ago. So it was really something that took some courage on our part and like a lifestyle adjustment. We were just like, you know, is it this serious? And at some point we thought about it. We were like, yes, this is serious. We have a chance to change our family tree. And so maybe a couple of years after we moved in, we actually did pay off all of our debt because, you know, no rent, no mortgage. Incredible. I mean, money just started just pouring out of into my business, and our debt snowball sometimes would be as large as like $2,000 or $3,000 in a month. Man. And that's not even like our utilities or, groceries. Yeah. So just having that opportunity, I'm looking back, I'm so thankful. I'm glad we didn't pass it up because on the outside, it looked like an icky, terrible, gross, you know, too much work opportunity. But I'm glad that we took it on. And, you know, the first night that we moved in, we heard the sirens. We heard the dogs barking in the alley. We heard the people yelling in the street. We were like, what have we done? But, you know, I'm glad that we did it because I feel like we live a much more intentional life. You know, there's kind of this thing around this trend of, you know, moving into an intentional community where people, you know, they live, you know, in close proximity. They share resources, yes. You know, they babysit each other's kids and, you know, cook and things like that. And so we're not that formal, but I feel like we have definitely plugged into where we are. I tell everyone in the suburbs, things are turnkey. You know, everything's mm-hmm. ready for you. Here, we have to fight for rights to just like basic things. But it's not just for us. I think about our elderly neighbors or someone else who maybe they work a few jobs and they're not able to advocate for themselves, or they're just like busy with life and kids and you know, fighting to stay above the poverty line. Like being able to like be there and advocate for them, with them, and build a community, like that has been priceless for us. And it's even been, you know, wonderful for our kids to see that we go to the local schools and we volunteer and we talk to high school students and you know, that we're just active in the community. And I know in the suburbs we didn't have that. It's like everyone is working so hard to maintain their, you know, mm-hmm. $3,000 house note, that there's really no time to like, there's no time to just like sit around and have coffee with your neighbors or, you know, call the mayor and say, hey, this is what I need. It's a different life. Yeah. I feel like it's a lot more communal, and I'm really thankful for it. So being here, not having to work as much, mm-hmm. I do some work. I'm a database consultant, and I have a company where I work with nonprofits to deploy databases. But I don't work a whole lot because we don't have a whole lot of bills, and I'm able to homeschool my kids.
Incredible.
Yeah, which is great. And they're, you know, they're both into like acting and modeling, and so I can be there when they have auditions, when they have jobs.
That is so much fun. Just that ability to do what you love.
Yeah, I feel like we have a very high quality of life. People are like, you know, how could you live there? And I'm like, oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. We really do. We get to travel a lot. I get to be with my kids. I get to be there for my family. You know, if somebody calls me in the middle of the day from the neighborhood, like, hey, you know, I need to pray. I'm up for a job. Can you pray with me? Or mm-hmm. something happened. You know, we can do that, you know. Yeah. So it's just having that availability. And like I said, I feel like it's a really high quality of life. I mean, there are some inconveniences that we deal with, but I think the benefits far outweigh those.
I love that. So I think you hit on a few really important points. So you talked about the building the community, which is huge. I mean, who doesn't want to make the community in the future better? I mean, really. But yeah. The part that I really appreciate about your story is you made a huge sacrifice. And from the outside, people would probably call you crazy. They'd be like, what is this girl doing? She is moving to this really almost dangerous part for debt freedom. Like, and so many people were probably very critical about, do you care about your life, your kids' life, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And so I'm just curious, how did you guys, I mean, it sounds like you were just all in on your plan, but was that the motivator to say, you know what, it's not going to be that bad. We're going to just try it out and view it as like the next adventure in life.
Yeah, that's actually a great way to put it. So we are very, we try to be wise. We try to be cautious. Mm-hmm. And the odds of us being, victim of violent crime, are pretty slim because, you know, we don't sell drugs. We don't gang bang.
That helps.
Yeah. And so most of the crime that occurs in this neighborhood is usually between people who like know each other. So there's a lot of domestic violence. So that factors into a lot of the crime rates. People who are involved in like gang rivalries. So we kind of thought about it like, you know, the chances of something happening are slim. I mean, there are still chances. And the other thing is, you know, I knew that we weren't crazy because we actually know a bunch of other people who have done this. Like when we got here, we met people who are college educated, could have moved to the suburbs, had, you know, some path where they could have been somewhere else. You know, mm-hmm. they had the privilege where, you know, they could have been somewhere else. And they decided to come here because, you know, they wanted cheap property and they just wanted a better quality of life. And, you know, and people of all races, I've met Latinos, I've met, you know, some white people, some black people. So it's a money thing. It's not even just a racial thing. So, and we didn't base our decision on that. You know, like, oh, well, so-and-so is okay. But when we got here, we actually found kind of a community of people who are already like, you know, that was their goal in life. So we're not the only crazy ones.
No, I think that's perfect too. And I think you're exactly right, is sometimes the decisions that we think are quote unquote crazy are really not that bad, right? I mean, I have so many people too that think if they sell their new car and they drive a car that costs $5,000, it's like the end of the world. But really, life goes on. It's fine.
Yeah, so, and I think there's this idea of this premium you pay for perceived safety.
Yes.
But I, you know, I just think that it's a part of this grander scheme. Totally. If someone can sell you something to make you feel safer, you know, obviously that's more money in their pocket. So, yeah.
I think that is such a good point. We pay a premium for things that we perceive are going to be there, and they may not be. Yeah, you're exactly. Yeah. Right. It's all hypothetical. So I'm kind of curious now, what was the total debt amount that you guys paid off? Because not even having a house, that is incredible. But what was the total amount?
Unfortunately, we had about $100,000 worth of debt. So between my husband and I, we had about $60,000 of student loans. Then we financed a car for almost $30,000. And then I had about $20,000 of credit card debt. So around between 100 and 110, we kind of went back and forth, but yeah, that was the total amount. And we weren't as gazelle intense. So I sure wasn't always tracking it. Maybe until the last couple of years, I would say the last couple of years, we kind of put, you know, we accelerated our debt snowball. In the last couple of years, maybe we paid the last 40,000 off in the last 2 years. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, it's been a long journey.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we're done. We finished in 2013, and to celebrate, we went to Las Vegas.
Perfect. What did you guys do in Las Vegas? I love that place.
Well, I didn't think I would like it, but we had a great time. Actually, we went on the coattails of a business trip, so we didn't spend that much money.
Even better.
I had a client who that I did database work for, and they needed me to be in Las Vegas. So I'm like, hey, honey, you want to go and we'll celebrate being debt free? He was like, okay. So
that is so much fun. I love that. But I think more than anything, your story is so powerful because you are, I mean, you're the American dream. You really are. You worked your butt off. You have kids. You have a family. You have a husband. You are working a job that now you are kind of in control over. I mean, what more? And you are banking up money, which is a huge deal. And that is so, so far out of the reach for a lot of people, or so they think, I should say.
Yeah.
They feel like it's just too far out there. So if somebody is maybe in your shoes or where you used to be, and they're struggling with paying off debt, what is the one piece of advice that you could give them, or even two things, that will really help them see why there really is a light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah, so the first thing I would say is just make up your mind. Make up your mind that debt is the enemy and the problem. Yes. That it is. I think sometimes we lie to ourselves. We go along with the status quo to say, well, debt is just a part of life. Debt mm-hmm. is something that will always be around. And that doesn't have to be true. Someone has sold us that lie. So decide that you're done with debt forever for anything. And once you do that, things will come to you without debt. When we moved into our debt-free home, mm-hmm. we actually purchased our first debt-free car like at the same time. So,
yay.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a super expensive car, but it was something that we had purchased, you know, no car note. So make up your mind that you want to be out of debt. And the second thing is, once you make up your mind, don't just stop there. Get a plan and start on the plan.
Yeah.
Our mistake was that we made the decision. We're like, this is great. We'll get out of debt. But we didn't. We got the plan, but we didn't follow through right away. And then the third thing I would say, you only asked for two things, but I'll say the third thing is, find someone who's going to keep you accountable. So I think Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University is great because it's like, you know, it's a group accountability program where you'll have access to people who can, you know, help you, you know, when you want to go on that expensive trip or buy that mm-hmm. nice handbag. It's really, you have to have a community and you have to keep yourself exposed to things that are going to inspire you, because it will get hard. It will get difficult. But if you stay inspired, you can keep going.
I love that. Thank you so much. That is so powerful, because it goes back to community. That's going to be the theme of our conversation today.
And
building up your tribe, getting people that agree with what you agree with, and they don't make you feel so crazy sometimes.
Yes, that's
huge.
Is key.
I know when I first started paying off my debt and I told people that I was going to work 70 to 80 hours a week, people were like, you're going to keel over and die. And I was like, I'm not. It's going to be fine. It's temporary.
And you're still alive.
And I'm still alive. Weird. But it was getting over all that feedback, because you as well, we were challenging the social norm. And anytime you break away from the tribe, you're going to get some pushback. So I really appreciate you saying that as well. And so I have to ask now, what kind of car do you drive today?
We actually still have our car that we financed back in the day. So we have an older Lexus SUV.
Perfect.
And then an even older Lexus sedan, but it's really old. It's probably coming up on 15 years old.
I love it.
And we are going to drive those things until they're done. So, in the meantime, we're trying to bank up, and, you know, maybe in the next 5 years, if something happens and we need a car, we're going to pay cash for it.
I love it. So what would you say is your next financial goal? What are you saving up for now?
Okay, so this is exciting. I actually want my husband to retire. I want him to be done. Yeah, I want him to be done working by the time he's 40, which is in 4 years. So it's a long shot. It's definitely a stretch goal. There's no way that, I mean, I don't, as of now, there's, you know, we're not necessarily trending toward that. We're not far off, but we definitely need like a miracle or some big change in our finances. But we're going to try it anyway, because back then, you know, being debt free was a long shot. We were on one income, and they were getting eaten up by taxes and garnishments. So mm-hmm. we're going to go for the stretch goal of retirement before 40.
That's a perfect goal. I love that. What do your kids think of all this?
Oh, you know, my daughter, she's my oldest daughter. She's 10 now, but just going through this, you know, if she meets one of my friends or something, the first thing she asks, she's like, are they debt free? You know, that's kind of like the way she judges character.
So funny.
She, you know, or just kind of see if we're on the same page. Yeah. She's like, and so she knows she doesn't want to take out debt. If I owe her for a chore or something, she's like, oh, you're, you know, now you owe me and all that. So yeah, she's definitely got it, and we're trying to get the 6-year old along. But yeah, they're glad that we did it, and you know, they're excited that we're going to remain debt free.
I think that's so amazing too. So for those of the people in the audience listening in, they might have kids. I mean, the odds are they probably do at this point.
Yes.
So if they have kids and they're going through this debt process, what can they do to get their kids involved with them that helps their kids see how powerful mom and dad's sacrifice really was? To see, just like you guys, what could you share with them?
So I would say that definitely keep your kids involved, like in budget conversations.
Okay.
You know, let them know that, hey, this is what the light bills are. This is what utilities cost. Have them take a look at those things. And, you know, when you go to the store and they ask for things, I say, hey, I didn't bring money for that. I didn't budget money for that. So let them know that money is not an infinite resource. It's definitely finite. And and then also I would say don't discourage them if they want something. It's not bad to want things. I think what you can do, and this is what I do, when they say, can I have this, can I have that? You know, we're Christians, so we're like, you're going to use your faith. So mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, gadgets or iPads. And my oldest daughter, she just bought herself a nice fancy camera so she could do YouTube videos. She's awesome. Purchased iPads with an S. She went to see a friend in Oklahoma when she was six. She got that plane ticket. So we encourage our kids to be creative and make mm-hmm. money for things that they want. And so I think those are some tips that you can get your kids understanding very early things about money.
That is so perfect. Aja, thank you so, so much for your time and sharing your story. And I know this is going to inspire a lot of people out there. I just appreciate it so much that you took the time to come on here and chat with
no
me.
Problem.
And I am so excited to see you at FinCon next year.
Yay. Thank you so much. This has been so fun, Whitney.
Yeah.
I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. So what did you think? Wasn't that amazing? I think her mindset is what is probably the most impressive of her commitment to being debt-free, the sacrifices she was willing to make for her family to better her financial life and her family tree, and just all of the heartfelt advice that she shared throughout this entire episode. One of the things that she said that really stood out to me is that we pay a premium for perceived safety. And that was such an eye-opener for me personally, because it's true. We think that we need to buy a really nice car because it's going to be more reliable, or we have to live in the really fancy subdivision because it's going to be safer. But yet when we do these things, we actually pay a premium. So it may or may not actually be worth the cost. You have to weigh out the pros and cons of both sides. But typically it's interesting how usually the things that we think are not safe are really not that bad. And so I really admired her ability to recognize that and to share that publicly. I think that's something that not everybody would do. So thank you so much for listening in today. I hope you have enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you like it, make sure that you subscribe, download all the episodes, and leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play, or even SoundCloud, wherever the heck you're listening. Leave me a review and let me know. And if you have some insights yourself that you would like to at least spark some conversation with, join the private Facebook group. That's a great place for you to connect with others that are trying to be better with their money as well, and just meet some new cool people and hang out and have fun, because that's what life's all about, right? Having fun. Well, thank you so much for joining in. I will catch you guys next week on the Money Nerds Podcast.